So we move on to item 12, watershed management and planning. Mr. Harris, would you like to introduce that topic?
Item 12, water quality control plan triennial review. Staff has conducted a triennial review of the basin plan. We are required to review the basin plan periodically by state and federal laws. The triennial review results in a resolution approving a priority list of issues. The priority list of issues identifies aspects of the basin plan that can be improved or corrected to strengthen the Central Coast Water Board's ability to protect water quality and beneficial uses. Staff recommends approval of the resolution, which will provide direction to staff on evaluating the priority list of issues to determine if they should be addressed by future basin plan amendments. Steve Sides will present a summary of the 2014 triennial review.
Okay, good morning, Chair Wolf and board members. As Ken said, I'm Steve Sides, environmental scientist in the basin planning unit. I have about eight slides I wanted to show you to give you a feel for what the basin plan triennial review entailed for 2014. And at the risk of bringing up the conclusions first, we are recommending adoption of the resolution that will complete the 2014 triennial review. And this will also include an approval of a priority list of issues that will be evaluated as future basin plan amendments. And I wanted to emphasize that the future part of it, because we're not asking you today to these are not actual basin plan amendments. This is more or less a work plan for future basin plan amendments. A little bit about the basin plan. I know everybody probably knows all of this, but the basin plan is it's the main document that we use to regulate water quality for surface and groundwaters within the Central Coast region. Was originally adopted in 1975 and has actually been amended 65 times over the last 4 years. And the first sentence of the basin plan is very telling because it gives an objective for the entire basin plan. And that objective is to show how waters in the region should be managed to provide the highest quality water reasonably possible. Now, why are we reviewing the basin plan? Well, the main reason is we would like to identify what in this document can be improved or corrected to improve our ability as staff and the Water Board to protect water quality. In addition, we have federal and state requirements. The federal requirement is under the Clean Water Act, Section 303.3c, which requires a triennial review of water quality standards at least every 3 years. And also in the California Water Code 13240 requires basin plans to be periodically reviewed. This is a summary of the process that we went through this year to review the basin plan. And I'm going to, in subsequent slides, I'm going to go into more details in some of these, but this gives you an overview of the process. And today's meeting is the end result where we're presenting our priority list to the board. And after approval by the board, we will be submitting this trying to review to the State Water Board for review and also to the US EPA. One of the first things we did was to identify a preliminary list of issues. And these were summarized in our brief issue descriptions document. But basically the process we went through is we internally discussed among staff. I encouraged all staff to participate in this process because they're out in the field and they are talking to a lot of stakeholders. So I said, how can we improve this document? And I got a lot of good responses. a lot of very detailed things about water quality objectives, beneficial uses, and that type of thing. And we also took a look at the prior triennial review, which was in 2009, and we synthesized all those into this brief issue descriptions report and just sort of laid out the issues. We didn't try to sway one way or the other about how we felt in most cases. And the main idea was to send this out to the public. We sent it out through email on August 1st. And the main idea was to get ideas rolling about ways to improve the water quality control plan for the Central Coastal Basin. We were careful to point out that we were open to any and all comments on the basin plan, not just the issues described in that document. So as I said, we sent out an announcement about the brief issue descriptions for the triennial review, and we had a 45-day public comment period. We also had a public workshop, and we tried to get the word out about this event, and I maintain a email list, a LIRIS list, and so we sent this out to about 350 enrollees on the email list. In addition, we had up the homepage of the Water Board. We had in the announcement section triennial review of the basin plan. We also have a website where we announce all documents that are available for public comment. Excuse me. So we tried to have a good effort to get the public involved. We didn't have a really big turnout at the workshop, but we did receive 11 comment letters, and some of those were lengthy. So we actually had 126 pages of comment letters. And to summarize what was in the comment letters, I would say most of the comment letters were, they commented on each individual issue by issue. And most comments were supportive of the issues. In general, the cities and the water districts provided some very detailed and helpful comments about certain beneficial uses assigned to certain watersheds that they felt we should take another look at, or language in the Chapter 4 implementation section of the basin plan that is completely outdated or needs to be updated. We had one letter from the grower shipper ag, and their support was pretty much limited to the idea of upgrading our groundwater basin configurations, which was one of the issues. Once we got all these issues with the comment letters, we responded to the comments in the document, in the final document, but we used a set of criteria to evaluate the issues. We wanted to make an open, transparent, as much as possible, as much as can be done, how we evaluated these issues, because the final recommended list is not just a list, it's a prioritized list, and these are the criteria that we used to evaluate each of the issues. And so for the first one, vision, does it align with the Central Coast's vision statement, which we've seen before? And also we have an associated measurable goals with that vision statement. The second bullet, will the issue result in improved water quality standards, which are water quality objectives, either numeric or narrative, or beneficial uses assigned to those water quality objectives? The third one, effectiveness. Will the issue advance water quality protection by improving our regulatory efficiency or better defining the Water Board's legal authority to regulate activities that adversely affect water quality? And then the final one is public interest. What is the level of public interest in the particular issue? So we had a total of 15 issues that we evaluated, and six of those issues, when we went through the evaluation, we tried to look at also what's happening at the state levels. So six of those issues we felt were actually being worked on at the state level by the State Water Resources Control Board. We did not want to duplicate efforts with the State Water Board on a regional basis. So we eliminated those, and that resulted in 9 priority issues. And these are the 9 issues in recommended priority order. And you can see we've also have a rough estimate of the PYs that would be associated with doing the background work to take those issues through the all levels of approval to become amendments to the basin plan. And that includes state, regional board approval, state board approval, Office of Administrative Law approval. And our office management has allocated approximately 1 PY for these basin planning projects. So you can see at 1 PY, we would be focusing our efforts on probably the first 2 or 3 priority issues. And one thing I wanted to point out is today the resolution is asking for direction and approval of by the board on these issues, and not necessarily the PYs associated with accomplishing those issues. And that's all I have, actually.
Yes, Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Chair. So back to that prior slide, if you would. That was one of my first questions when looking at this is the method you rank this was a priority method that did not include the feasibility on accomplishment. I could say my number one priority is to save the world, but I might not have the ability or the skills to do that, but there would be other things under that that I might be able to do that I would have the skills or ability. So the bottom 5 items on your list can be accomplished with the same number of PYs as the single most one priority at the top of your list. So I'm just wondering how that all comes into play as you're prioritizing, you know, whether you're going to accomplish a larger priority with your resources or a greater number of priorities.
Well, I would say the effectiveness part of it was encapsulated in that effectiveness criterion. So we,
although you acknowledge you're short the PYs right from the get-go, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think it depends, Mr. Jordan, on the value, and so the higher ranked ones are, you know, based on our analysis are
of value.
Of higher value to the organization.
I agree.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're accomplishable.
They're accomplishing, we can accomplish them, it'll just will take, as you can see by the resource allocation, it'll just take time.
Right, okay. All right, and then my other question was, what's, after you've been through this process, what's not on that list that could be or should be? Is there anything else?
Well, these were the most important ones. With the other 6 ones that are not on this list are ones that we the state board is
there were no light
on.
Bulbs going off after you went through the process and saw the 15 that, oh, we could have had a couple more on there that we would have added, maybe that would have risen this level?
We did get a comment letter yesterday from Heal the Ocean, and they saw this list and they said, well, we have a 10th item that we think should be added to that list, and I actually talked to Hillary Hauser at Hill the Ocean yesterday at length, and after talking to her, I think that she no longer thinks that her item is appropriate for to be on this list, because what this list is projects that will result in basin plan amendments, and what she was talking about wasn't really on that,
okay.
Didn't meet that criterion.
Fair enough, thank you. it tends to be how those Hillary conversations go at length.
Yes, but her letter, I just read it this morning, and she has a generous offer to, she recognizes the shortfall of PYs assigned to these issues, and she has a generous offer from Hill Ocean to provide their staff time to help us work on these issues. So I don't know how that would work, but that was what she said.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, you each have a copy of that letter. It was on your things this morning.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson?
Well, this was all a lot easier with the first staff report that said we had two PYs a year and we could do 1 through 8. And with the revised staff report that says, oops, we have one PY because the other one is spent on assessment and planning related to groundwater protection and program management, so we can do 1, 2, and part of 3. So I kind of got to that late, and I'm just starting to look at it a little more critically. I guess my question, and it's kind of similar to Mr. Jordan's, is if you have one person, if the other PY is doing program management and groundwater protection, assessment and planning, doesn't priority number 8, groundwater basin configurations update, fit in there?
So groundwater, we don't, groundwater configurations or the basin boundaries are the purview of the Department of Water Resources for the most part. So I'm not quite sure
what that issue is getting at is our basin plan maps and lists of groundwater basins are outdated. And we would like to use Department of Water Resources, Bulletin 118, and other local regional mapping sources to simply have an update in our basin plan of those map. There's a map, and there's also a list of all the groundwater basins. So
what's the real world impact of doing that updating work? How does that help in our mission if we have less outdated descriptions of groundwater basins in our basin plan?
Well, I think
the basin plan. I'm still getting my head around basin planning. I'm sorry.
For me, it's a total sum effect of the if we want this to be the go-to document and a very useful document, it should be updated regularly and it should be accurate. And the more inconsistencies and less accuracies that are in there, the less it becomes a useful planning document. As an example, our drinking water standards in here used to be exactly parallel to the drinking water standards in the Health and Safety Code. And that was circa 1994. And now our list of drinking water standards are completely outdated. And so our permit writers don't even use that list. They just go straight to the Title 22 drinking water standards. And so I would just like to have, for example, strike out that entire table of drinking water standards and just cite the appropriate standards in as the drinking water standards.
And that which item is
simple
that? Is
edit.
That item 9, priority 9?
What I just described with the drinking water standards and a lot of little things like that are in the comprehensive basin plan editorial revisions,
right,
which were non-controversial edits to the basin plan, because any edit, even if it's a misspelling, has to go through the whole process of the trying to review.
Okay, so back to the utility of the groundwater basin configurations update. And you're saying that the principal utility is that it makes the basin plan a more credible document? I mean, does it?
So the basin plan isn't correct, right? I mean, it's not current, it's not correct. We're not the only region that struggles with basin planning update. This has been an issue for the water boards for decades. It's a severely underfunded program. It's very hard, even though the Water Board, the State Board, has tried multiple times to do to request additional resources, because it's a planning program. It always gets turned down. The last time there was a concerted, coordinated, major effort to update the basin plan was in 1994. It involved an entire unit at the State Water Board, the regional boards, and cost multi-million dollars to do. And that was the last time that all the basin plans were brought current at one time. So it tends to be very piecemeal at this point. And it's just, it's an out-of-date, you know, it is the fundamental set of regulations that we govern water quality by, and it's not current.
So once again, in terms of the impact of the groundwater basin configurations update not being done, is that it makes that a less credible document? I'm just trying to understand what, because if our other PY is spent for each of the 3 years principally doing groundwater work, I don't get it.
Some of these changes, like the changes to the MCL tables, are just ministerial changes to make the document a little more user-friendly and to avoid confusion. The groundwater configuration, I'm not sure exactly how it's used in the basin plan, if it has a specific map showing a geographic area and there are requirements that apply only within that geographic area as depicted on that map, then it might have some effect, but I don't know that that's the case. I think Steve can probably answer that better than I can.
Yeah, I mean, given the importance groundwater has in our region, and I mean, I'm trying to understand why that's so low on the list, unless it's just, we're just dealing with technicalities here.
I suspect that's what it is. I know a couple of regions have recently updated maps in their basin plans just for purposes of clarity. But staff would have to answer whether it's causing any confusion in terms of, does this water quality objective or that water quality objective apply in a certain location?
Right. And we do, in fact, have water quality objectives that are applicable to the entire, all the groundwater basins in our region, and we have water quality objectives specific to certain groundwaters. And in that regard, those maps are critical, because those water quality objectives apply to those groundwater basins in that specific area.
And it also seems like, if I know we discussed this morning how the first order of business in the coming out of the new groundwater legislation is to let the locals do it, but the second order of business is in areas where the locals are not able to pull together an agency, the DWR will then presumably ask the water boards at state or regional level to play some role. And so it just seems like we should have that piece of our basin plan together. But I'm just trying to understand how much it matters. So it matters in terms of if we have specific water quality objectives that are groundwater basin specific, it matters if our maps are wrong.
Yes.
I assume it potentially matters, or maybe it doesn't, in terms of the ongoing story, because this is a 3-year plan we're doing, the ongoing story of what's going on with development of groundwater basin-based sustainability planning.
So it's important to note that this is does not lock the board in. It's not written in stone. We can we have to go through this. This is a process that's required by law, but we can at any time change our priorities. You know, if something came up tomorrow, we could throw, you know, some emergency or some requirement, we could throw all these out and we would just assign resources to that specific issue. But this is the priority ranking that was developed through the process that Steve described. You all can reshuffle the deck at this point. I mean, I think you have that that latitude if you want to direct staff to reprioritize.
And to answer your specific question about the groundwater sustainability legislation and that process, it's DWR that has the authority to designate where the critical basins are, and we're actually using their delineations now. It's just that that's not reflected in the basin plan, so this shouldn't have any impact on that process.
Got it. And finally, I want to close with a kind of a small gripe, which is, you know, I spent a lot of time going through this over the last couple of days and trying to understand, trying to get a sense of how I felt as a board member about the ranking, and it was a little hard because the ranking is somewhat of a black box to me as a board member. I know that, if there's an effectiveness score assigned to everything, it doesn't mean much to me, maybe, without, and I don't know how we deal with that next time. I'm not proposing that we put this off and have a one-day workshop for the board on it, but I think maybe we put a little more thought into it for next time. I'm not questioning the work staff put into it or staff's grasp of the issues, just more my ability to understand where they're coming from on this stuff.
So I know that your time is limited in terms of your ability to review the information. As you know, we do our very best. We do provide you all with board briefings, and I understand sometimes you just can't get to the material. If you have suggestions, I mean, certainly staff is always available to, as Mr. Jordan availed himself yesterday of sitting down with staff for about 3 hours going through GeoTracker and things like that. We are always available for you to do that. And if there are aspects that you see coming down the road or you see particular items in the agenda and you want more detailed information or discussion, we can certainly arrange that outside of the normal board briefings.
Yeah, and frankly, I at the time that we did the board briefing, the information I had was we had sufficient PYs to do items 1 through 8. And there was a revision that came down later that said, oh no, we have sufficient PY. We don't have 2 PYs, we have 1. And so that kind of changed it all. So I'm trying to deal with this at the last minute.
Dr. Hunter? Mayor Delgado?
Thank you. Given that aquatic life protection looks like it won't be addressed with the PYs available, I wanted to ask a question about that. On page 4 of our staff report, it shows aquatic life protection as included in the 2009 triennial review. And it says that the progress is some because the State Water Board is developing some policies related to it, and it lists those policies in the progress column. But my understanding of the staff presentation was that those 6 issues out of the original 15 that were getting state address were dropped from this list of 9. And my question is the aquatic life protection, as stated on page 4, actually getting some state address? And so maybe it's not such a big deal that it's not going to be addressed by the PY available.
That's a multifaceted answer to...
Lisa's going to field this question.
Was my question confusing?
Well, I think what you're asking is why is this still on the list if the state board is addressing it?
And is it a big deal that it's being dropped?
Yeah.
So given that the state board might be addressing it.
Yeah. So that's a broader category or description of what it would be included in the basin plan amendment that we would be pursuing if we called it, if we use this term, aquatic life protection, which is the name we got it, gave it, excuse me. A portion of what we've called the aquatic life protection potential basin plan amendment is related to nutrients, and particularly nitrate and nitrogen levels that affect aquatic life. The State Board is working on and pursuing a nutrient policy, a nutrient protection policy addressing impacts of nutrients. So that's a portion of what we have, over the years, wanted to do or considered doing or heard from stakeholders that we ought to do or ought not to do. But there are other water quality objectives also we would want to consider changing to fully protect aquatic life.
So there's just some examples. Board Member Steve Moore mentioned the fact that the State Board, working with Cal Fish and Wildlife, they're going to identify, it was 4 or 5 streams for flow objectives. That's an example of where protection of aquatic life comes in, because the whole reason for those flow objective is to keep sufficient water in the streams for endangered species and aquatic life. So that's an example of how the State Board is doing it. Second one is regulation of marijuana growing. One of the biggest impacts of marijuana growing is the drying up of streams, using all the water, the introduction of pesticides and sediment into the streams. And in fact, up on the North Coast, there are some streams, they say, that specific watersheds where species are going to go extinct because the streams have been dried up due to marijuana growing. So the State Board has resources now temporarily in place to do pilot permitting programs. I sit on that task force along with Region 1, Region 5, and Region 6. And those pilot programs are developing a permitting program, much like irrigated ag, for marijuana growing on individuals' parcels. It does not address trespass issues on forest land, or state lands. That's strictly illegal, and law enforcement takes care of that. And they are targeting very specific watersheds where impacts to aquatic life are known to be extremely critical. The only reason I mention that is there are multiple aspects to, as Lisa said, to aquatic life protection, and many of those are occurring at the state level, as they can get to them.
Yeah, ours refers specifically, the other parameters are turbidity, sediment, temperature, dissolved oxygen, as well as nutrients, and some of those are being worked on as part of the nutrient policy, but not all of them.
Okay, any of those that you just listed, are those being addressed in the State Water Board's quality control plan, which assesses the biological integrity of surface waters?
So that work is focusing on using organisms as indicators, and because they are integrative of water quality conditions. So indirectly, there's some value in that, but directly, that may or may not help us know when we have a discharge condition or a water body condition of turbidity or sediment, physical or chemical parameters, and the link.
Okay. A follow-up question to that is, if we were to move the aquatic life protection up so that it got some address, maybe not 0.6 PY, but some PY, would that work help make some progress on these other issues that are higher priority in that? I mean, I'm thinking if you enhanced the life protection, that maybe you also enhance other higher priority surface water conditions.
In general, I think that's possible. I think we'd have to think about the specifics a little more to be able to respond to exactly how. I mean, certainly the possibility of improved objectives for dissolved oxygen might help in near coastal discharge environment and in estuaries. So that goes to the ocean protection one, just off the top of my head there. That's one example.
So my overall thought is that the aquatic life is kind of the canary in the coal mine, and to the extent that we do more of that objective, we're probably directly benefiting or indirectly benefiting the whole system. But I'll just leave it at that. And then my only other comment before finishing is, in the future triennial review, it would be nice if the prior triennial review's issues were a little bit better crosswalked. In this case, the staff report gives the 2009 issues, and it talks about the progress made but there's not a real easy way for me as a reviewer to know which of those were moved into the new one or which of those were dropped from this triennial review. That's one half of the comment. The other half is that I thought that the progress stated in the 2009 triennial review was a little bit generous as far as saying that some progress was made on every single issue. But when you look at the details of that progress, it refers to, oh, local agencies are thinking about doing something. Therefore, we made some progress on that issue. And I think that it, just like in our earlier issue that Lisa had, she told us the facts about what we're not going to get to. And, you know, we don't like to hear that, but I think Mike Johnson said it's good for us to know what's not going to get done when we pick up new things. And so I think it would be more helpful to be a little bit more critical constructively about which of these things really didn't get done. And maybe say none, but footnote, we didn't do anything, but somebody else is thinking about looking at it. That's the other part of my comment. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Young?
Thank you. A few questions and comments. And some of this dovetails off what Mr. Delgado has just spoken about. And if I get into some of that, it's because I want to make sure I understand exactly where we were in 2009, what has been left off, and what has been included, and make sure that I understand, with respect to aquatic habitat, what we're actually doing. The 2009 list, item 6, includes riparian buffer zone protections. And I see the progress on the right column simply saying that the State Water Board is developing a plan for wetland area protection. And I know wetland areas and riparian areas, they may overlap in some geographic areas, but generally they're defined differently. I see that our aquatic life protection from 2009, item 3, doesn't mention riparian, at least in that item. And I think, Lisa, what you had said was that the focus from the 2009 issue was nutrients and toxicity. Is that, that's what the State Water Board has been focusing on?
Mostly nutrients.
Mostly nutrients. So, and I think you said that there were some other things on our plate that we haven't gotten to, but I just want to make sure I understand what those are.
I'd like to add some clarification.
Okay.
This is Phil Hammer. The State Board is also working on a wetland and riparian area protection policy.
Okay.
And so when we're saying that some progress has been made by the State Board on the aquatic life protection, one of those things, in addition to what Lisa was talking about, was with the numeric nutrient endpoints, is also their progress they're making on the wetland and riparian area protection policy. And they are moving forward on that. It's a two-phase project right now. The first phase is focused on wetlands. The phase two is going to be expanded to riparian areas.
Okay, so Phil, if you look at page 5 in the 2009 report, well, no, our report, but page 5. So item priority 6 could say something that the riparian area protection is under development or something, right, that the State
Correct.
Water Board is going to address that.
Correct.
And do we know what factors the State Water Board is going to be looking at? In other words, temperature is one of them, and I don't see any comments here about temperature that anyone is looking at. Do we know? If the state
well, like I was saying, it's a two-phased plan,
right.
And they haven't really gotten into a lot of details on phase two. They've been busy with phase one, which is more focused on the wetland portion. Phase two is where it's going to be expanded to riparian, and what exactly they're going to be doing with that is something that I think they're still in the planning stages on.
But the wetlands policy has been very controversial. I've been here 2.5 years, and I had that policy under me several years before I left the State Water Board, and it is still not done. So it brings a lot of stakeholders out, and has been very, a very, very difficult, it has been a very difficult process to move that along. Mm-hmm. So I think if we told you anything about riparian at this point, it would be pure speculation.
Mm. Well, I guess like most things that we stick our fingers into, they become complex and controversial and take time.
This more so, I think, than anything else I've ever seen, quite honestly.
Okay. Is, you know, shade in the riparian corridor is a factor for protecting a lot of beneficial uses. Could that be considered to be a water quality impact?
It's also considered in nutrients, too, when they're looking at nutrient levels in a stream, because you can have two identical streams, one has shade and one doesn't, with the same nutrient concentration, and the one with shade, no sunlight, won't exhibit any problems, where any eutrophication issues, where the one that's in the sun have algae all over the place. So shade is a very important component.
Okay. All right, well, that's good to know.
Well, I want to make sure we're not misunderstanding each other in terms of if you're wondering if the wetland and riparian protection policy is going to come up with numeric water quality objectives for particular constituents such as turbidity and some of these other items, I don't think that's going to be the case. What it may come up with is concepts in terms of what kind of riparian buffers are necessary to protect the health of a water. I could see them getting into shading, but in terms of looking at particular constituents and pollutant concentrations and coming up with new numeric water quality objectives, I don't anticipate that.
So we'll have more general objectives than numeric standards.
Correct, but hopefully there'll be new ones that we don't currently have.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Young.
Yes.
It's Lisa. I just wanted to add one more thing to clarify. So the former aquatic habitat issue on the Trinity Review, we said we didn't bring it forward because we rolled it into the what's now our priority number one, protection for riparian areas specifically and habitat.
Okay. All right. Now, is it in here? Is it in the description? Is it in our?
If you look at, the numbers are. let me get the correct number. 6.6 was aquatic life protection. In the, I'm looking at page 20 of. Attachment 2, the report, the description of the issue. That's called aquatic life protection that we originally were speaking about relative to setting specific new objectives or changing objectives that would protect aquatic life. If you turn to the next issue, number 7, which starts on page 23. That one's called aquatic habitat protection and riparian buffer zone protections.
Okay. All right.
And then at the very end of that, staff's response says that we're integrating that into the watershed and integrated water resource protection issue.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification. So now getting to the other issue I have, and that's with the lamps and the general policy we have on lamps and how we can, assuming that the board wants to do something about the general lamp policy that we've adopted into our basin plan, if we start entertaining lamps, like from Santa Barbara County or any other entity that wants to propose a lamp, if the board has issues or concerns with the maybe lack of detail or protection for beneficial uses and wants to go beyond the general policy that's in our basin plan, how can the board do that?
There's going to be some additional discussion of this tomorrow during the Santa Barbara item, but the requirements of the statewide policy that's been incorporated into the basin plan are pretty general. It basically requires the board to make a determination that the lamp is going to protect water quality. And so there are certain requirements, very few requirements. It's, the policy was intended to be very flexible, and it gives the board a lot of discretion to make the determination about whether the lamp is adequately protective. So even under the current basin plan language, the board has authority to send a lamp back if it feels that it doesn't meet the minimum requirements of protecting water quality and require the municipality to make changes. There's a dispute resolution process in the statewide policy that can be implemented once the lamp is disapproved, where they can seek some sort of dispute resolution by the state board. That process is very flexible. A local agency can either ask the state board to approve its lamp at a public meeting, or the state board can decide to do some sort of dispute resolution, the form of which is not really clear at this point. It could be anything from informal mediation to, I don't know, sending it back to the regional board, or disapproving it itself. But the process has to play out at the regional board level before that process is invoked. So the board does have flexibility and authority at this point to require the counties to do more.
So we could say we're not going to approve your lamp unless we have conditions 1, 2, and 3 put into your lamp.
Or something equivalent.
And I'm gonna maybe counter a little bit of what Lori is saying, just that I think it depends on what you're asking for. We can go into this in more detail tomorrow. I don't think today is the appropriate time, because this could spiral off into a 1 hour discussion, and we do have time tomorrow to talk about it.
The only reason for me bringing it up now, because I was considering having this item added into our priority list for the basin plan review, triennial review, because I feel that it's a region-wide significance. We're going to have multiple agencies coming before us with their lamps.
Correct.
And it would be real clean if we just took a lamp language that exists now in our basin plan and did the tweaking that we may feel is appropriate to protect groundwater resources in the Central Coast region, and then we've done it across the board.
Well, we had the chance originally, so the choice was when the lamp came, the OTS policy came before this board, to make it stricter or to adopt it as is. This board chose to adopt it, and it was on my advice, because depending on what changes you might propose could trigger a requirement for CEQA, which is could be a significant cost and a significant staff drain to do that. The state board CEQA on the OTS policy as originally done, and it had to be done, the original one was contracted out. It was a multi-year process. It cost something like $1.5 million to do, because there were so many potential impacts when you start thinking about people's on-site systems, and then had to be redone when we did the final one, because the changes were so drastic. We used the original one as the basis, but it could be a significant cost and staff effort to the regional board if you, depending on what you wanted to do with the basin plan in terms of modifying the current language that's in there.
Well, I was hoping we were going to have that discussion at some point.
We are tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
And in terms of whether CEQA is required or not required, obviously I can't address that until we look at what sort of changes may be required. But even without CEQA, there's a cost associated with doing a basin plan amendment. And so I think the thing for the board to consider is that really necessary in order to achieve the result you want, or can you work within the existing framework? And I think tomorrow's discussion will be informative of that.
Well, and that's why I raised my question first with how can we best affect change, and perhaps just conditioning our approval of the lamp upon certain items that we feel are more protective.
And as I said, this is what's before you today is not written in stone. If we go through the discussion over the next couple board meetings and the board makes the decision that you want to give direction to the staff to move OTS to the top of the list, you have that ability to do it. So this does not lock you in and prevent that from occurring in the future.
Right. Well, and don't forget, tomorrow's agenda item is not certain to happen.
No, that was actually, that comment, that actually was a typo.
24A.
Yeah, that was a typo. Yeah. It said at the discretion or time, that was a typo.
Okay.
And what we will do, Mr. Young, is the strategic agenda item, we're going to move that to last. That
okay.
way we reassure ourselves to have plenty of time to cover this topic and still being able to end the day at a reasonable time.
Okay.
Hopefully, yes. So I, you know, my takeaway here is that we'll have a chance tomorrow to have a, you know, more detailed, in-depth discussion on this topic. My takeaway also is that we do have flexibility in this particular rank, and if some of us have buyer's remorse, we have an opportunity to go back and tweak things a little bit. A couple of observations on the groundwater basin configuration updates, and this ties to Mr. Johnston's comment, is that I know that DWR right now is feverishly updating their maps because they have a deadline for the beginning of next year to update their categorization of the various basins priorities. So that's coming up. There, pardon me?
That's 1 year out. That's 2016.
Then it must have been a typo because I read it twice. There was a 2015, not your document, another one. The document I review was published by Aqua Group, so maybe they were in error putting 15 instead of 16. But the long and the short is that the basins are being, you know, reviewed, including sub-basins, and identifying the boundaries of these, so it's kind of a moving object, so it probably makes sense to hold off on that. And then lastly, you know, there was a lot of meaningful input from staff that you provide saying, well, you know, the reason we're not addressing that, it's because the state is working on it. And in what you referred to, Mr. Johnston, as the black box, perhaps it would have helped knowing a little better which, and this is for the future, I'm not suggesting we do this now, but knowing which items currently the state is working on, that way we don't feel like, gee, you know, we're missing some points that we should address. And it's actually a very good idea of you know, comparing, that way we don't have inadvertent overlap and paralleling efforts unnecessarily with state priorities. So I think that would be helpful and address some of the questions that my colleagues had. So having said this, we do have a couple of speaker cards on this topic. And then after these two speaker cards, I'd like, you know, our board to you know, debate on where you want to go with these priorities, if that's okay with all of you.
Mr. Chair, I do have a request that we finish the Morro Bay item before we break for lunch. We have people who have to leave. So if we can keep that in mind, if we can go ahead and take care of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I have two speaker cards for 3 minutes each. So I will start with Claire Weinman, please. If you come to the podium. Yeah, it came loose. All right, we're back in business.
Ready, set, go.
Go ahead, Claire.
Good morning, my name is Claire Weinman. I'm the president of the Grower Shipper Association of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. We appreciate the opportunity to review and comment on the 2014 Basin Plan Triennial Review. We do believe that tremendous progress has been made since the 2009 review, and that that progress is still understated in the draft before you today, particularly in regards to the TMDLs that have been adopted and are being implemented. We did participate in the public outreach meeting and submitted comments in response to the priority issues. Your direction today will set the stage for discussions that we're going to have for the next 3 years, so it's very important. We still have some very significant concerns about the draft before you today. We have lingering concerns over the implied increase in regulatory authority in Priority Issue 1, Watershed and Integrated Water Resource Protection, and Priority Issue 2, Designation of Beneficial Uses. We've read staff's reply to our comments, but still do not feel that they've been adequately addressed. We ask that you consider reworking these priorities so that we can consider it more thoroughly. More specifically, this is the wording that causes concerns, and these concerns are shared by many diverse stakeholders. For Priority Issue 1, Watershed and Integrated Water Resource Protection, on page 11, staff responded to our shared concerns and asserts that the purpose of this amendment is not to regulate all activities and factors, that would not be reasonable or rational. We agree that it would not be reasonable, but on page 12, it goes on to state that staff proposes to amend the basin plan to develop the authority to adequately address all relevant activities and factors that affect waters. This is very confusing and is a cause for concern. Similarly, we have concerns with developing a tributary rule under Priority 2, Designation of Beneficial Uses. This issue is highly controversial, and tremendous resources are currently being expended at the federal level. We ask that the Water Board defer this issue until it can be resolved at the federal level to avoid duplication of efforts and allow for more consistency prior to making any additional modifications. Finally, we would like to restate our request that aquatic life protection be deferred until the State Water Board can complete the current activities referenced on page 21. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you for your comment. And the second and last speaker on this agenda item 12 is Ms. Mary Webb.
Thank you again for the opportunity to speak. Mary Webb, I'm Vice President of Green Space. This document is also new to me. I did attend the public workshop and we submitted comments. Your staff, Mr. Seitz, answered those really well, and I really appreciate that. He also emailed me with some other information that further helped us. We're very concerned about the impacts of desalination and the reverse osmosis plants that are being introduced along the California coast. We think it's critical that the regional board develop high standards to minimize the effects of brine discharges and their constituents, prohibit ocean intakes, prohibit outfalls, especially in marine protected areas, and make sure that desalination is the choice, a last choice, not the first, for alternative water supplies. We understand that there's broad discretion that's given to the regional boards on a case-by-case basis in adopting language for desalination. I know the state is addressing some of these issues, but apparently the regional board has a lot can make a lot of decisions based on desalination plants in our area, and we want the highest levels of protection for the North Coast area in that regard. The maps are really important. They need to be updated. There should be more money spent forward thinking instead of trying to fix things once it's broken. It costs much more to do it that way. To me, it's best put the money into revising the plan with the strongest language at the very beginning, spend the money on CEQA to begin with, then we won't be dealing with overdraft and all these other issues that cost us so much money in the long run. There are water quality standards that can be strengthened. We really recommend that to reflect current information on nutrients and carbonate chemistry parameters, including pH. You can develop criteria for other parameters related to ocean acidification, such as total alkalinity and dissolved inorganic carbon, and designate additional beneficial uses of coastal waters to improve ecological resilience. The amount of staff you have dedicated to this is just so small. I'm very disgusted with that, especially when there's seven staff members dedicated to a Cambria project unnecessarily. This really needs to be looked at. Where should the staff be spending their time? The data is critical, and the more updated, the better. It's going to protect us in the long run. I think that's it. But I also do appreciate that if we had a table that shows what items are being relegated to the state versus the regional boards for people like us to look to make sure things are not falling through the cracks, it would be really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. And, you know, as a side note, perhaps Mr. Moore, you can confirm my comment here, is that State Board is coming up next year with regulations pertaining to DSAL, correct?
Yes, that's right, Chair Wolf. I updated this board many times on an ongoing, very detailed stakeholder process to develop a desalination amendment to the California Ocean Plan. And that might be one source of confusion, is that this process is for the water quality control plan of the Central Coast Basin, which is the watershed and the water bodies in the watershed. The state has a statewide water quality control plan for protecting ocean resources, and that's the appropriate place to put a statewide desalination policy for intake and discharge related to desalination facilities. I encourage interested parties in this region to go to our website, and it should be pretty easy to follow and find desalination amendments under the ocean plan work that we are doing very actively. We'll have hearings on a proposed amendment early next year.
Thank you for this clarification and information augmentation, Mr. Moore. So now I open to my colleagues to decide which direction we want to go here.
You're looking this way. So I just have one more question that I think I asked at the brief when asking about the resolution language, but it's just a priority list, and the actual amendment revision comes back for a public hearing and adoption by the board too, each time you do some of that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. The language on that second page of the resolution kind of throws in the title, and you know, if it was me, I'd put the "to be evaluated" or get rid of the "to be." You use the title of the document, "to be evaluated," as what the approval of the basin plan amendment is, which is just kind of confusing. These aren't basin plan amendments. You're just setting up a priority list.
Correct.
Okay. I don't have any problem. I think this is a 10,000 foot view down at the process, and as the process goes forward, we'll get another shot at the at what results from it. The most disturbing thing said today was that only once in my lifetime has the basin plan or plans ever been in synchronicity with staff and resources, even though they're required by law. So you jump through this hoop every so often, but you acknowledge right up front that you're not going to get the resources you need to attack the priorities that you set up. So that's probably the most disturbing thing I heard today. But I agree, it's a starting point. When I went through this the first time, I shared, I think, some of Claire Weinman's perspective too, in that you'd read a paragraph and you say, well, okay, I get what you're kind of saying from a big picture, but what the heck does that really mean? What are you going to do? And I think that's part of her concern is, you know, that's the vision, but what does it look like on the ground when you come chase us? And so I don't think it's reasonable to expect that we're going to be in conflict or at odds with where a federal policy goes. So I think that will evolve over time. And I think we'll get a shot at what this looks like in her other concern of these tributaries, these little areas that feed the other streams. So I think that's the time to address those particulars or other concerns like that, and I'll certainly support the staff recommendation.
Mr. Jordan, were you asking for, I'm unclear, for a specific edit?
No, I think I brought that up at the briefing. When you read that, it says, approve the 2014 priority list of issues to be evaluated as the basin plan amendments. The 2014 priority list of issues to be evaluated is the title of the attachment. And so the title of the attachment stays together, okay, as basin plan amendments.
Okay.
And do you remember are we actually approving those as basin plan amendments, because that's the way I read that, or are we approving those as what will come back to us to be worked on as future basin plan amendments, which that's the correct answer. And so I just wanted to confirm that.
Okay.
It's confirmed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Mr. Johnson?
Don't worry, Mr. Jordan, you're still young.
Twice.
It might be twice. I'm prepared to support the staff recommendation. Mr. Jordan said most of what I was thinking, and I'm not going to repeat it all. Suffice to say that this will come back before us before any action is taken. I would urge, and I'm not attempting to make staff direction here, but I would urge that if there are questions that look like they're going to be particularly contentious, that maybe before staff does all the work to bring a completed basin plan amendment to us, that we'd look for a way to workshop it or to discuss it and to get some staff direction in the interests of efficiently using staff time, which is a precious commodity.
So all basin plan amendments have workshops associated with them. So let's be careful about, are you talking about a workshop, a staff workshop, or a board workshop? Staff workshop, they have all the time. Board workshops are like the Salinas workshop we did last year for the river.
I'm talking about some way, if we have something that we know is going to be contentious, for example, a blanket tributary rule might fall in that category, to before we're at the 11th hour, where it's where the board is voting to either approve it or throw out a half a PY of staff work on it, that maybe there's a way to do a check-in with the board on it. That's what I'm suggesting, and I'm not attempting to give guidance to staff just to say it's an idea I think you should consider, because we have an interest in using your time efficiently.
Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. This is in reference to Lisa's characterization of how a number of these priorities actually tie in, and relative to Board Member Delgado's comments about the canary in the coal mine, et cetera. I mean, that we have different lenses through which we can understand and see the integration of this work. I would like to suggest, Lisa, it would be very helpful to us as we have these issues come up as actions in response to this priority list, that if we can recognizing how we might touch on multiple priorities. In other words, any single action, as you pointed out, would have benefits in other ways, indirectly, not necessarily that we're doing something about ocean coastal habitat, but that actions we're taking on this particular issue is going to ultimately have benefits for reducing impacts to the ocean coastal, sensitive coastal environments. So if we can bring those into better definition, I think that would also help us to track some of these issues that fell to the lower end, which I have heard from board members, could have as much impact in terms of meeting our broader goals, our broader set of goals.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. Are you asking when we speak with you or report out on progress or work in any of the highest priority categories and or others that emerge along the way in terms of basin planning, that we relate them and explain how they relate to the other items on this list?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Because I think the set of nine, it's pretty far reaching. And, when it comes to the vision framework, I mean, that's the broadest one of all. And yet it had a very low ranking, from the public response. But from my perspective, having seen that the vision, the watershed vision, healthy watersheds evolve,
we know that it is driving kind of, it's kind of the platform, it's the backbone of a lot of the prioritization that goes on. So I think sometimes we tend to put things in boxes and table them, which I love. You know, I love tables about as much as everyone on the staff. But it also kind of tends to segment things in ways that we maybe don't see what the connections are. So that would be helpful to me and hopefully to the others and to our public. So we understand? Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Jeffrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My comments will, I agree with the priorities. I don't have any problem. I support the staff on this. Priorities change over a period of time when issues come up, and our priorities change with time. And I've seen over the last 20 years, the priorities in the basin plan amendments have changed over time. My big thing is that when we have people that are trying to apply for permits, that the basin plan is referred to, and it's a guide. It's not necessarily the Bible, but it is a guide to put permits together. That we make the language not in engineering terms. Let's try to make it in language that the general public can understand. I think that would be very helpful, because sometimes when you're reading some of this, you read one page that says one thing, and then you turn the page and it still refers to it, but it's in different terms, and it's kind of confusing trying to, and I think one of my other colleagues has brought this up, it's what does it really mean? And so consequently, I think we could use some help in that. And I realize that you only have so much staff, we only have so many dollars to work with, and so consequently it makes it very difficult to do everything. But I'm a firm believer we have to continue to work on this to make it as best policy we can, clearest policy, so people can understand where they're going to go with their permits or try to understand permits. I hope, Lisa, I didn't confuse you with all that double talk. But I think the clarity is extremely important. And I know when we talked about the ag waiver that some of the items would be in the basin plan. And there was some concern about how that language would be implied and how it's written. So I would ask the staff, think about that when you're doing those interpretations.
Thank you. Mayor Delgado? Mr. Young?
I'm fine with staff's recommendation.
Okay. And I'm also, you know, fine with staff recommendation. I made some notes from, you know, my colleagues' input and trying to see here if maybe we need to memorialize this as a direction without necessarily making, you know, the fundamental changes to what is proposed. I see them as sort of little enhancements as part of, you know, of the task. One of them was from Mr. Johnston, and that related to, you know, workshops. And were you perhaps pointing out, Mr. Johnston, to workshops that would include the stakeholders on some of these items that are of concern? I know you said to give an update to the board, but wasn't the spirit of your concerns to alleviate contentions is to engage then maybe the stakeholders on a workshop in items that are viewed to be should we say perhaps dicey, or maybe I misunderstood?
Not necessarily. As Mr. Harris pointed out, all of these will be workshopped with stakeholders. My suggestion was that staff consider, and I explicitly was not seeking to give staff direction, that staff consider at their option, in the interest of efficiency, if there are questions coming up that are predictably controversial, before they get all the work done on it, updating the board and making sure we're on the same page. That's all. Okay.
So I take that as if we'll use our best judgment. If we think there's a, there are hot issues with any particular item, we will just schedule, you know, we can do the second day of a two-day board meeting and make all or part of it a board workshop to bring the item forward and have stakeholders, you know, come and tell you. Because normally what happens is, you know, staff will, as Steve showed, staff goes through public workshops, you know, notices and all that kind of stuff. What wasn't in there was a board workshop, and certainly we can always add a board workshop in there so that you can hear directly from the stakeholders.
Yeah, and I don't seek to make that mandatory on every basin plan amendment. I'm just thinking, let's avoid a situation where staff does a whole bunch of work, brings us a yes or no question that we say no on, because these things are not very easy to revise on the fly. In the interest of efficiency.
I understand what you're asking for.
Okay, thank you. Then the other item, which was Dr. Hunter's suggestion, was to highlight related items. I think that's also a good input. And then lastly, from Mr. Jeffrey, is to use common, clear language and not use engineering terms. And to paraphrase Mr. Jordan on a previous meeting one time, you said, write it like normal people, a thing you were referring to, you know, the other abnormal ones being engineers and scientists.
You know, if you're asking an engineer to do that, I think we ought to ask the lawyers to do that too, don't you think?
I don't want to go there. Right now, we're just focusing on engineers and scientists. But so, you're welcome. So, with these clarifications, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, so I'll move to approve resolution R3-2014-0054 with also your comments to staff.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed? All right, unanimous. Thank you very much.